wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the special Ramadan edition of the Household Express. I am Sister Mara with my two co-hosts, Auntie Kareja and Auntie Hawa, and we're delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. Before we commence with today's Household Express, let's go listen to today's Muazzin tribute. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, we have Auntie Kareja and Auntie Hawa in the studio with me. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Kareja. How are you keeping?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope all the listeners are also well.
Auntie Hawa, how are you keeping?
Well, alhamdulillah, I'm well and anxious for next week because it's Eid.
Was it Eid? Yes, today already the 30th of May and the 24th of Ramadan. Mm. Ramadan is almost gone.
Gone. Yes. Our guest is leaving our house again.
Please make lots of dua, yes, inshallah. Well, let's go to our first interview. And today we have a pastry chef online, and it's Megan, who is currently a chef for a fine dining restaurant at the Saxon Hotel. She has a diploma in culinary art. She has been on international platforms as well. So let's welcome Megan to the airways of Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks for yourself.
Thanks, a pleasure for having you on Radio Islam International. And yes, certainly, Megan. Megan, why have you decided to become a pastry chef?
You know, since I was a child, I was absolutely obsessed with art, and I believed wholeheartedly that, you know, my destiny was in pursuing a career in art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think food ultimately chose me. My mom and gran would take me to food exhibitions and food shows, and I was basically subconsciously submerged in what I believed would be my future career. So I think when I realized that being able to create food, and specifically pastries, into edible works of art that were somewhat short-lived and that would evoke emotion and passion in the people that I'd be serving them to, I realized that I had found my place. I was absolutely convinced that this was what I was meant to do. And I pursued a career in culinary art.
That's good to hear that, Megan. Now, are you adventurous in the kitchen? And what is the most outrageous-sounding commendation that has worked for you, Megan?
So, I absolutely love pushing the boundaries of pastry. I love almost taking flavors that are quite nostalgic and really turning them on their heads. So, I'm not sure if you are familiar with a chocolate bar called A Millionaire Shortbread.
Mm-hmm, yes.
My mom used to buy my sister and I one of these after our swimming lessons every Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So, this year, I decided I was going to take the concept and absolutely just, you know, mess with it, really create something that was quite outrageous. And mm-hmm. what I came up with was white summer truffles, barley, mushrooms, and I encased this all in dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was to create something that sort of exuded grandeur and wealth. And I couldn't quite think of anything that sort of screams this quite like truffles, caramel, praline, chocolate, and mushrooms. And as outrageous as it sounds, it really works. I think it's probably one of my most favorite flavor combinations that I've created so far.
Well, Megan, I must say, it really sounds outrageous, and it sounds delicious as well. Mm. Yes. Okay, now, Megan, what advice would you give to the youth about becoming a pastry chef? You know, for those who want to become a chef, what advice would you give to them?
You know, being a chef requires so much commitment and sacrifice, especially for, like, in a personal capacity, that not many people actually have the endurance to survive it. So I think because it requires so much precision and so much dedication and so much time, when you're choosing this career, it really is important to remember that, you know, there really are no boundaries except for those that you set for yourself. And because food speaks so many different languages, it just really opens up the world for you. I would say that my advice would be, number one, love food. Like, love to eat it, love to make it, love to understand it, and love to respect it. I think that's like, really important.
Yes.
Number two is the chef school. You really need to make sure that you choose a good chef school. You need to make sure it complements you and that you complement the school, because ultimately that is the foundation of your career. And number three is something that I hold very close to my heart, and I believe that when you are pursuing a career in culinary arts, you really need to take your time. There's no need to rush to the top and become a head chef before you're ready. I think one step at a time for as long as you can, because there's just so much to learn.
Mm-hmm, yes. Now, Megum, you've shared with us a lovely eat dessert recipe. It's quite a lengthy one, but it's already on the website as well. You've got a banana bread, you've got a banana French toast, and you can serve it with vanilla ice cream, candied walnuts, caramelized ganache, banana brulee, and chocolate sauce. It's a whole type of a dessert, and we appreciate you sharing the dessert. Listeners, already on the website already, so listeners can go onto our website as well. But Megan, as Eid is like basically a week away, what any ideas or tips you have on pastries, on what temperature to bake your pastries? And pastries is one of the lovely delicacies of our Eid as well.
You know what, I would actually say one of the most important things to remember when making and baking pastries is intuition. Like, really trust your intuition. You know, recipes are there to be followed to a degree, but when it comes to your oven, they're all so different. Mm. So if it doesn't look done to you, leave it in a little bit longer. Mm. I teach a cooking class, and I'll often see people wanting to take things out. They like timing it specifically to 5 minutes. You know, if it needs the extra 2 minutes, leave it in for another 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing is, for example, with the recipe I gave you, what's so wonderful about it is that, you know, if you don't want to make vanilla ice cream, buy a really good vanilla ice cream. You know, like, so it's something that's really cool because you can really put things together quite easily and simply by utilizing what you already have. So, you know, if you don't want to use vanilla ice cream, use some cream. If you don't want to use walnuts and you have peanuts, use the peanuts. You know, like, really just see what you have and utilize them accordingly. You don't always need to go out. You don't always need to push yourself unnecessarily. It's all enjoying it, really.
Absolutely, yes. Megan, it's certainly been delightful to have you on the program today. And I'm sure we're going to be having you in our other programs as well on different topics of food and pastries and cooking and baking. We'd love to have you back on the line again.
Thank you
so much for the recipe. Your recipe is on our website. I've put it under Eat Dessert Recipe, courtesy of Chef Megan, the pastry chef. You have a good day, Megan, and thank you once again. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Megan. Thanks. Bye. Well, it was pastry chef Megan, and she actually gave us some lovely information, and she also shared with us a lovely lengthy recipe. It's called a lovely eat dessert recipe, where you make like a banana French toast, served with vanilla ice cream, candied walnuts, caramel ganache, banana brulee, chocolate sauce as well. It's a whole dessert. It goes step by step. You can go onto the website at radioislam.co.za, and you can take the website, the recipe down from our website. It's a bit too lengthy to share. Inshallah, in another program, we can share it. It's a bit of a lengthy dessert recipe. But because of what time consuming, we won't be able to share that. But, alright, let's go for a very short break. When we come back, we're going to be actually going to the Ramadan cuisine around the world. And today we're going to be listening to Sister Zainab Dokra. She's a food blogger, and she's all the way from Botswana. And she also goes under Instagram page, Spicy Fusion Kitchen. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, let's go listen to Ramadan cuisine from around the world. And this week we've got Sister Zainab Dokra from Botswana, and Sister Zainab is also a food blogger, and her Instagram page is Spicy Fusion Kitchen. Stay tuned.
Ramadan cuisine from around the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Zainab Dokrad. I'm from Botswana and I run the food blog Spicy Fusion Kitchen. So alhamdulillah, Ramadan is finally here. It really just brings us so much peace and happiness, and we are so blessed to be experiencing another Ramadan. Inshallah, Allah grants us many more in our future. And so Sister Amara asked me to share what Ramadan is like in Botswana, which really isn't different to Ramadan in South Africa now that I think about it. From the food to the atmosphere to the small traditions every family has, we are very much alike to our neighboring country, which I think is amazing. I come from a small town, so I think because we are a small town and we are a tight-knit community, we also like to still
keep it old school and we'll send each other a plate of food. This is a lovely sunnah as well. And I think it's nice to have that, you know, sense of what we used to do back in the day. I mean, I remember when I was small, I would go with my auntie or my nanny, and we would just go give savories, plates of savories to neighbors and stuff. So sometimes we still do that, and it's so, I find it very nice. It just brings us all together as a community and as, yeah, as a community. And alhamdulillah, we also come together to send food to the masjid. I know this is not something, I know this is something that even South Africans do. So whether it's halim or soup or savories, we also like to send to the masjid. And I think because our Muslim community is growing, and alhamdulillah we have so many new Muslims, this is a lovely way to bring them together with us. It's a lovely way to make them feel comfortable and loved and supported. Ramadan, as blessed as it is, can be very, very difficult for new Muslims, especially when they don't have the support of their family. And so coming together in the masjid to eat and just feel the love and the atmosphere and the happiness and joy of Ramadan, it makes it just a tiny bit more easier, and they just feel the support as well. And then now that I think of it, what blessed month is it? What a blessed month is it to give back as well? Giving back to those in need throughout the year is very important. But a lot of amazing people work harder in Ramadan to come together and organize more charity drives, to initiate more volunteer work, to collect more donations for various organizations and initiatives, so we can all help those in need locally and around the world. This is a lovely time to recognize the blessings that we have. Alhamdulillah, we have a roof over our head, clothes on our back, and food on the table. We are blessed, and there are so many Muslims and so many people out there being tested right now, and we should always remember to just give back, to open our home, our love, and just, you know, support those in need. Speaking of food, we also like to prep in advance, especially our savories, which I think honestly is a great idea to prep in advance. No one wants to spend the whole day in the kitchen during Ramadan. It's the time we should be spending making more ibadat, reading more Quran, reading more namaz, doing more charity work. And so if we were to spend more time in the kitchen, that takes away from the time we could be trying to better ourselves as Muslims. Yes, it is also another way to give. Prepping in advance to me means that you're not wasting time in the kitchen. And even though food is a lovely way to bring the family together as well, and we, let's not lie, we all like to have good food, especially if we spend the whole day fasting. We do want a good meal on the table. Alhamdulillah, if Allah has granted it to us, we do want it. And so I think prepping in advance is just so much more easier. It should just make us more thankful for the countless of blessings we have, remember those that are being tested by Allah. And it should not make us judge those for how much they've prepped or how much they have made or how much they have not made. This is not the time to worry so much more about food, but it is the time to put more emphasis on bettering ourselves as people and as Muslims in our faith and in our deen. But I will say, inshallah, I hope everyone who has prepped for Ramadan, whether it's for your business, whether it's for your family, may Allah grant you a ton of barakah. It's not easy work. It's very, very difficult. And, you know, it's amazing to see how much a woman can do in this time of month. You know, we do try and make the best for our families, and to just, food is another way of showing love and appreciation to our family. And so, inshallah, Allah grants you a ton of barakah in whatever you have made. And Ramadan is the time of year to really try and better ourselves and who we are, to be there for others, to give back to those in need. It's the time we should start good habits that we can carry on even after Ramadan. So whether it's going for your weekly taaleem, making more zikr, having a home taaleem, you know, getting involved in charity work, creating a atmosphere for your children as well, so reading Tarawih with your family, or you know, like the woman in the house can read Tarawih together, you know, reading Quran together, listening to zikr, listening to Quran. All of these little traditions just to better ourselves as Muslims is so important, and it's the time we should take as we should make the most of it, so if I can say that. So as you can see, Ramadan is very similar to South Africa. I'm sure I'm missing some things, but we really are so much alike, from the food again to the atmosphere to the traditions to charity work. We try our best to do as much as we can, as and alhamdulillah, we are so blessed to be seeing another month. Inshallah, I hope everyone has a blessed month. May Allah shower His mercy and barakah on everyone. May your homes be filled with a lot of love and dua. And Jazakallah for all the love and support I've received on Spicy Fusion Kitchen. And Jazakallah to Sister Amara for having me on your program.
This is Household Express on Radio Islam International.
Our segment of the Ramadan cuisine from around the world, Sister Zainab Dokra from Botswana, is also a food blogger, and she goes under at Spicy Fusion Kitchen on Instagram. Well, let's get back to our program today. Today we're going to be having another open line discussion on cooking, baking, any of your Eid cooking, baking concerns. You can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. We've got Auntie Khadija, we've got Auntie Hava in the studio, and I think everyone is ready with Eid preps already.
They are, definitely they are.
Chevros are made and packed up, biscuits are made.
Yes.
Not yet.
Well, a lot of people have started.
Yeah, have done, yeah.
Yes.
You know why? Because it's cold, it stays nicely. And talking about biscuits, how would you store biscuits, Auntie Khadija? You're an expert in making biscuits.
Well, I think if you foil your containers and pack it stays very, very nicely. Nothing happens to it. And the thing is, there is absolutely nothing wrong. The day is so short now, so you have to prepare yourself before the time.
Right, yeah. And should you put foil in the bottom of your tupperware, or is it the wax paper and the sugar tip? You can sprinkle brown.
Yes, it's up to you.
Yeah.
And normally I put the wax paper under my tins or the containers, and it stays very, very nicely.
Does the biscuit stay fresher in a tin or a tupperware?
As long as it's airtight and sealed, it will stay well.
Can you freeze biscuits?
You can freeze.
Okay. How would you freeze it? In the tin, container?
I think in
get
plastic
the fridge
container.
Taste.
Yeah.
Right. I suppose not for too long.
Not for too long.
Probably a month the most.
Okay. All right. And, we're looking forward to Auntie Khadija's two lovely recipes later on. Auntie Khadija, what recipe are you going to share with us?
Today we're giving a millionaire's chevro recipe, and the second one is the health chevro recipe.
So we're looking forward to the recipes later on.
Yes.
And so our lines are open also. We're going to ask Brother Ziya to open the line 011-854-1548 for any of your Eid baking questions or concerns. We're also taking your WhatsApp message on 072-786-1548. Auntie Khadija, how would you... we already got a question here.
Okay,
the sign says, Assalamu alaikum, would 3 chickens be enough for 40 people and 13 cups of rice?
3 chickens for 40 people,
no ways. It's too little.
Too little.
For 40 people, what would you say, Khadija?
Well, for one chicken, 5 people can eat from it.
Okay, so you need to work out 1 chicken, 5 people.
And you need 3 cups of rice.
3 cups
That's
of rice.
How I cook mine, and it works really well.
Okay, so 1 chicken, 3 cups of rice.
Yes.
So you need to work it out that way now. All right.
So you need 8 chickens for 40 people.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to our WhatsApp. This one says, all right, do you have a recipe for the China fruit or potpourri mix?
I don't have it here on, but I do have one at home.
At home, okay.
I don't know if it is on our website.
I think it is on our website.
Yes. So you must just go through the website.
Just go through the website.
Yes. Sometime back.
Okay. And, okay. Now, I know most people have biryani on each day, so Auntie Hava, what is the best way to steam your biryani? Gas, oven?
It's really by choice. It depends on how you've done it in the past, and you will keep to that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Oven, gas, or electric stove.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when it comes to setting the biryani, Okay, you're going to layer it, whether it's chicken or mutton or
yes,
what, you know. Another lady actually WhatsApped me in the week. She says, like, how does she get her onions crispy when she's preparing her biryani?
You fry them until they're nice and
yes,
crisp. And as they cool down, then they get crispier.
They do, they
yeah,
do.
They do get crispier.
Okay. This reminds me of something also, Adikarija. If you're making, say, one chicken biryani with 3 cups of rice, how many onions would you fry for that?
3 onions to a chicken. 3 to 4 onions to a chicken will be more than enough.
Okay, and Adikarija's biryani recipe is on our website again.
Mm.
This one says, okay, I made chana makaj, but it came out a little hard. Is there any way to make it soft?
Oh, I'm sitting with the same problem.
Is it?
I don't like making these things in the winter months because of the temperature.
Yeah. Yes.
So what she can do is just scrape it all up and reheat it a little and add a little bit of fresh cream.
Did it work for you, Aunt Java?
Yes, it did. It would make it a bit softer.
Okay. Yes, I think we're not... Any three of us sitting here, we're not experiencing making meat.
No, I am not. Maybe only the burpee, yes, but no other mitais too.
Yeah, all right. I'm definitely not experiencing in making mitais, but inshallah, one you will get there. Okay, this one says, Salams, enjoy your program every week, Jazakra. Can you please advise how to make a sweet chevro recipe? I think it's basically the millionaire's chevro, okay?
Yes,
we're going to be sharing the recipe later in the program. All right. This one says, please, for rice, how many will I need for 40 people? Mars, I'm having a tough time figuring it out.
18.
Okay, let's help her out.
24 cups.
20. Is it? Yeah.
Because you're just cooking 20, for 40 people.
If it's 8 chickens and it's 3 cups, so then it's 3 cups times 8.
Yes.
Yeah. 3 times, so 3 eighths are 24. 24 cups.
Perfect. Yes. Jazakallah for the
radiyava.
Okay. This one says, I find that kneading the mugaj sufficiently by hand till it's slightly tacky keeps the mugaj soft, even in winter.
I know. Well, last year it worked out perfect. This week, this year, I don't know. It just didn't work out perfect. So I'll go and try this idea.
Okay.
Re-rub it.
Jazakallah for that. This one says, Salam, there is just that you know that I always freeze biscuits from my Eid baking for Bakri Eid.
Oh my.
And when I take it out the night before, it is just like I baked it the previous day. Mm. Alhamdulillah, it tastes fresh in a Tupperware.
Oh, that's good.
That's good to hear. Jazakallah for sharing as well. Okay, this one says, Salams, for Gulab Jumbo, what's the best ratio for syrup?
It's a cup of water to 2 cups of sugar.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Oh, I got a tip here. Somebody sent me now. Beat the chana magaj in a Kenwood with a K-beater. So it will soften it up.
It will soften
with
it.
With a K-beater,
yeah,
it will soften it.
Okay. Amara, could you add some ghee to soften it, need in my food processor.
Yes.
Okay, that's another one. Basically, it's saying the same thing. Okay, I think we need to go for a very short break. When we come back, we're going to go on to our recipe segment. And then we're going to share the 2 recipes and then take your WhatsApps again. We don't want to miss out the recipe segment. It's 2 lovely recipes for Eid. So stay tuned. Well, Auntie Karija, I've got 2 lovely recipes, the millionaire's chevro recipe. So you can continue with it, Auntie Karija.
Okay. So for the millionaire's chevro, we need cashew nuts. Okay, now this you have to use your own discretion of how much you want. Pecan nuts, badam, macadamia nuts, then you get the fruit cubes, soft gums, Turkish delight, nougat, flaked almonds and coconut, and jelly dots. You mix 1/2 cup of icing sugar and 2 tablespoons of maizena into the above mixture and cut up and roasted the nuts.
Your nuts must be roasted.
Yes, you must roast your nuts and you must cut all your gums and all that into small cubes. And you just mix it. It's a very easy thing.
Very easy.
Even the health chevro, both are very, very easy.
Okay, so recipe is on our Radio Islam website. Go to radioislam.co.za. And the chana fruit recipe is not on the website, Antipatia. So I'm going to ask the listener who actually wanted the recipe. She can WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648.
Yes.
And then I will give her your number as well. And you can just give a recipe. Also, a small request. I think my sister has sent in a... Last week, she actually sent in a recipe on how to make your own condensed milk. If the sister please can send that condensed milk recipe onto my WhatsApp number, that's 082-565-8648 as well, how to make your own condensed milk, we would appreciate it. Okay, the next recipe is a health chevro recipe.
Okay, for the health chevro, you need the oats, the brown and white one, the different types of pretzels, then you need your cornflakes, your bran puffs, assorted nuts like your badam, your pecans, your peanuts, your cashews, sunflower seeds, the maxi cereal, the triangle shape. You roast everything together for a little while. Then you make a vagar with sortel, rye, limri, and a little red chilies. Add to the above and mix everything together.
So easy.
Very easy.
Very, very easy. Very easy. Okay, both recipes are on the Radio Slam website as well. And, okay, let's go to our caller. Okay, no callers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. All right. Okay, we're going back to our WhatsApp message. Today we're taking all your eat, cooking, and dressing questions or concerns. Okay, this one says, Salams, I use flour instead of self-raising flour. So how much of baking powder do I put for 1 cup flour?
Baking powder for 1 cup of flour. A teaspoon.
A teaspoon.
Slightly heaped.
Slightly
overheaped. Slightly
heaped. Okay.
Or she can use a 5 mm measure.
Okay, it would be
that's perfect.
Perfect,
yeah.
That's a teaspoon, isn't it?
Okay, this one says, a Mitai seller told me she put some oil in winter to keep soft. Warm some ghee, beat, and add to mugaj. This is what I do. I always beat mugaj in beater or processor. Beat first before adding icing sugar and cling will lighten color as well. I did think of the oil, but I wasn't sure.
No, but then this lady told me that don't add extra ghee. It will change the taste and make it even more hard.
Yes,
just beat it with the K-beater. No matter how hard it is, it will soften with the Kenwood machine.
You know, you find a ghee gets stuff in.
Yes,
in
it does.
It's hard, yeah.
It's absolutely correct what she said.
As you're kneading it with a beater, it will soften up.
Mm. Okay, this one says, Salams, how do you make saucy roast chicken? Saucy roast chicken.
Okay, and you see, it's up to you how you want to make. Some people grate an onion and a tomato in your roast, or else they put all the different sauces in it to make a nice saucy. But you have to, don't forget to add your masalas in there.
Uh-huh.
And it becomes saucy.
Yeah, you should spice your chicken
nice
and then make a sauce base.
Yes,
you can do that. That will be a good idea.
Idea to make it saucy.
If you're going to, I'm not sure. If you cook it with like tomato, onion, and etc., it will become very moist and
yes,
it won't have that roast
juicy.
That roast
no.
Cook. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, all right. This one says, my gas is still floppy. Can I put it back on the stove and add more gas powder?
Yes, you can do that.
Mm. You can do that. Mm. Okay, let's go to our next message here. Okay, this one says, is it possible to freeze chocolate decorated biscuits in advance? How do I store without the chocolate flaking off?
I think she'd rather freeze the biscuit and thaw it in a fridge and then add the chocolate later.
Okay. Mm. Then this one says, please share a fresh cream recipe for barfi, okay? There is barfi recipes on the Radio Slam website.
There's a lot of them recipes. Mm. Yes.
Okay, we've got the homemade condensed milk recipe. What we're going to do, we're going to put it in the put it onto the website.
Okay.
Okay, I'll send to Faiza. She'll have it onto the website. And, okay, she's looking for a China fruit recipe, and Kaja, you won't know that offhand, no.
No, you know, again, there you just have to use all the different China fruits
yes,
and just mix them together.
Okay. Mm. All right, a sister from the UK, her name is Nazma.
Okay.
She's a great fan of our program, I must tell you that. She's actually sent in a picture of, she's actually made coconut syrupy samosas yesterday.
Oh. Lovely.
That sounds tasty.
Very, very nice. Mm. She actually sent a picture of it. Oh, it looks actually divine.
Okay.
No, I think when you fast, everything looks
everything
nice.
Everything is nice.
Okay. This one says, Atikaja, please share her Kasijala's dough recipe. Jazakallah. I think that Kasijala's dough recipe is on, the website.
On the website also, yes.
All right. Okay, let's go to more messages. This one says, I hope you're all well. What brand of pretzels do you use? Halal suitable.
You know what? You have to shop and see what you get these days in store.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes. Mm. Okay. And, all right. Soji, jardo, gajar, can you freeze it?
Yes. You can, definitely.
Freeze as well.
Even but if you use the soji that uses a lot of eggs.
Is that
for
so?
Example, there's one recipe I have. I call it my 7 egg soji. And it freezes very well.
Okay. Really?
Gajar freezes very
well,
well,
yeah.
There's nothing.
It takes a bit of time, but it freezes very well. And okay. You throw it in the fridge, not on your counter. Throw it in the fridge and then leave it on your counter to come back to room temperature.
You can freeze gajar as well.
Mm. Very nice. It freezes very, very, very well.
Okay. Well, let's put... okay. There's Gola wants a remedy for burping. Somebody said somf.
Okay.
Somf. So, remedy for burping is somf.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. And also just, it also depends on what you eat also,
yeah.
You know.
You see the oily foods and all that tend to make you...
Then it does make
yes.
And it causes a bit of heartburn as well.
There's somf. Mm. Somf is good, for,
is very good
for good for burping, yes. Okay, and then another one is, can you freeze chevro?
Yes.
I tried,
yes.
And it works well.
And lots of people do freeze it.
Is it?
They freeze chevro, and it stays very nice. The only thing is, it will be a bit cold. You can put it in the oven to get a bit crispy.
Crispy.
Mm. It, yes.
All right. And then another listener wants to know, we spoke about the chicken biryani, the amount. Mm. So for mutton biryani, say 1 kilo mutton.
Same amount, 3 cups of rice.
Same.
Yes, it's 1 kilo of mutton to... Now, the only thing is your mutton, you have to marinate it before the time.
Mm.
At least 1-2 days before the time, and then it marinates very well. And it will cook nicely through.
Okay. And obviously, you're going to be making your mutton. You must cut out... Doesn't have to be small pieces of mutton.
No, nice size pieces.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
Do we have a call online? Okay, let's take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Auntie Hawa?
Alhamdulillah, it's... okay, yes, Auntie Hawa, yes. Auntie Khadija, it's myself, Amara, as well.
Assalamu alaikum to all the aunties.
Wa alaikum salam.
Auntie, the saucy roast chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You can take one chicken, red ginger garlic masala.
Mm-hmm.
You take it to your taste, the red ginger garlic. Add a little bit of saffron. Kentucky barbecue spice.
Mm-hmm.
Tomato paste. 2 tablespoons flour. Lemon juice and oil.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you cook that on low heat. You'll get a very nice roast chicken with a little bit of sauce in it.
Okay. Thank you awesome. For sharing. So the saffron makes it a lovely taste as well.
Yes. And it's very, very tasty.
And the flour will
and
cause the thickening.
Yes, the flour holds the masala. It doesn't loosen the masala.
Okay. Jazakallah so much for sharing. Assalamu alaikum. Lovely talk for us. Jazakallah for that, sister. Okay. And, okay, and Krija, here's another question coming through. 1 kilo mince, how many kebabs would you get out?
It depends on what sizes you...
Yes, again, the size...
If you look at your normal size.
You get about 5 dozen.
No. Normal size kebab.
Probably like 3 to 4 dozen. No? It depends on the size, actually.
How you
roll
it. If you wouldn't want to roll the kebab so big, roll it a nice size, because, you know, there's no wastage.
And they shrink a bit also,
yes.
So you've got to...
No, the chicken ones won't shrink.
Oh.
Chicken ones will never shrink.
No.
Yeah, mutton ones
mutton
can shrink, but not
bit,
chicken.
Yeah.
So you're getting from 1 kilo mince about 4 to 5 dozens of kebabs you definitely do get.
Okay.
Depending again on the size of the kebabs that you roll.
Okay, yes. And, yes, okay, another last question before we end off today's program is prawns. Do you have to marinate it beforehand?
No.
I never like to marinate prawns before the time because prawns cooks very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah.
Yes, okay.
So
you can get your spices ready.
Yes.
In the morning.
And your marinade ready, but just cook it quickly and fry it and add your marinade and have it.
And enjoy
it. So much nicer. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to come to the end of today's program, to the end of our Ramadan special broadcast as well. Next week, inshallah, Wednesday will be eat, Thursday we're not in, and the week after we'll be back again. So, Auntie Hawa, your message to your listeners, your Eid message to the listeners and to your family.
We'd like to hope Allah will bless all of us on this beautiful day, especially these last days, and grant all our du'as and make it easy.
Inshallah, Ameen. Auntie Khadija?
And I think
you got the fullest hope.
Yeah, I need to have it too. Ameen. Have everybody have a lovely, wonderful Ramadan, the balance of it, and have a beautiful Eid. And please remember us all in your duas.
Yes, and my message to my family, friends, my colleagues here, Auntie Hawa, you have a lovely Eid as well. Please do remember us in your duas, this last few days of Ramadan. And inshallah, you'll be back with us in another 2 weeks time. To all the listeners all over the world who's listening to this program, also JazakAllah for all your feedback, for all your lovely messages, your duas, we always appreciate it. Auntie Hawa, your message?
No, I just wanted to say that we should just have a little diversion in our menu for the Eid date.
Yes.
And try a paella. It comes out very lovely. If in the Indian delight, it comes out perfect and very tasty.
Okay. Nice, something different.
Something different.
Very, very different.
So you spoke about prawns now, and prawns is one ingredient that you would use in the paella.
Different types of fish things.
No, it's seafood. Prawns, chicken fillet, and if you like, you can put in a bit of sole.
Okay.
Yeah. It's three different types.
So maybe after Eid, we can share that recipe. Eid. Does it something nice?
It's very, very tasty, and it makes a nice pot full.
Is it? Mm. Okay, so that's our next recipe coming up.
Inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. Okay, listeners, well, that's it with you for today. From me once again, Eid Mubarak to one and all. From me, Amara, Antikarecha, and Antihava. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.